What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
ESPN 102.5 The Game presents
T-Base Dissection.
There will be no copying and replaying this anywhere else without our express written consent or something like that.
Something around those lines. Just don't copyright it.
Just don't steal our crap, okay?
Don't swagger jack our dissection.
Don't swagger jack. Morning Drive ESPN 102.5 The Game. Listen, Ryan Tannehill questions about individual matchups, the games within the games, and then we'll make fun of our own NFL predictions from back in August as well this hour. So we got a lot of stuff to do for the Tennessee Titans in the playoff game against the Patriots coming up on Saturday night. Are we ready for a D-Mace dissection?
I got this little, what's that little thing? That little colorful thing that's
the,
just going
the pinwheel
around.
Of death?
It's buffer.
Yeah, it's just
it's
going
the pinwheel of death.
And round and round and round. I was just looking at a play.
The pinwheel of
that
death.
That I had. And now, look at the pinwheel of death. Look at it.
Oh, no. Around. You need to do a hard refresh.
I know. That's what I did. I refreshed.
How long is this
it,
music, Marquise?
That's 2:15, so it's almost over. But I'm just going to let it ride. I mean, I can listen to the rest of it.
This is just
as a Raiders fan, Marquise.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's a better finish of this song than it was for the season for the Raiders. So.
Yeah.
Autumn wind is a pirate.
Hold on, it gets very dramatic at this part. This is my favorite part right here. Yeah,
that's pretty good. You never hear that part of that song because it never gets to that part of the song. You're always off watching highlights when they play that song. It's underneath highlights, and I'm focused on the highlights. You never hear the great flourish there at the end.
No,
don't.
Is that a John Williams special, by the way? Did John Williams make that one?
I think so.
He's basically written every great symphony ever.
Yeah, for the NFL. Yeah, for sure.
He wrote Star Wars, he wrote Jaws, he wrote everything. He wrote every single one. He's the modern day Beethoven. I'm vamping at this point. I'm just vamping.
Yeah. Keep on vamp.
You want to keep vamping? Pirates of the Caribbean, super underrated theme song. Just gonna say. Throw it out there. Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. Check it out.
I'll take a look at that.
Very underrated score, as they say in the movie industry.
So it's coming,
one of those that doesn't
coming,
get the Academy
it's coming,
Award.
It's coming.
Are you doing live play-by-play of the pinwheel of death?
Yeah, I'm doing something right now to get it.
How about this?
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hey!
I was about ready to move the dissection to next segment.
Here we go. Oh, you're going to move to next
segment.
Yeah,
we could talk about something else.
You know, let's
I got
move
ideas.
To next segment
I got things.
Because I don't want this to... I think I got it, and this is the problem when
oh, technology.
When you just have technology and you rely on it so heavily. If I had my beta machine here, then we wouldn't have these problems, okay?
Why don't you just feed the hamster, man? Make sure the wheel is spinning so that the power stays on. All right, so let me ask you this question then, and we'll do the dissection coming up next segment. So a little audible here. Hot route, Red 7. Here's the thing about Ryan Tannehill. He has been a godsend and has achieved at a level that no one expected. Unprecedented levels of expectation. So my first question is a broad question about this weekend. Are fans going to read too much into what he does this in this one game? Meaning, if he has an okay game but they don't win, are they going to be all of a sudden out on Tannehill? If he has a great game but they lose, are they out on Tannehill? If he has a great game and they win, is it all of a sudden give him $100 million? Are we going to put too much gravity and too much weight on this one moment for Ryan Tannehill? That's my first question.
I hope, I hope not. Do you want him to go out and win a game and play well? Absolutely. But I hope that if they don't manage to win this game somehow, some way, I hope people then don't say, which I think they probably will. People then don't say, well, here you go. You know, regression is to the means. He's back to being, you know, Ryan Tannehill, the guy that we got from Miami, the guy that we, you know, that Miami paid us to take. That I believe maybe that's what some fans will go back to. I hope not. I hope Titan fans, and I believe they are a little bit more smarter than that. One game, you know, doesn't take away what he has done the last half of the season. Now, you hope that he doesn't go out there and bomb and, you know, whatnot. I can't see him doing that. I could see him possibly, you know, throwing an interception, not playing as well as he has been, because, you know, you've said it before, he's playing and that offense is playing at a historic level. Eventually, it has to come back down somehow, some way. And I hope that if it does come down this particular game, then fans don't all of a sudden say, oh, here we go again.
Right, right.
Here he is, the Ryan Tannehill from Miami.
All right. So then my final question about Ryan Tannehill, because I think he's answered every question he could have possibly answered up until this point. Mm-hmm. We still have playoff games to go, and so the stakes are raised, and everything is more difficult. And, oh, by the way, you have to do it against a Belichick coach defense. So you know he's going to have some crazy schemes and some crazy designs, and you don't know what he's going to do. Is Ryan Tannehill capable? Even mm-hmm. though we've seen all of this awesome stuff and all these great plays, My question is still, can you hang the game around his neck with, or I guess I should say put it on his shoulder, mm-hmm. I should say.
On his right arm.
Down by 4, 1:46 to go. One of the few things we knew that Marcus Mariota did incredibly well was manage the 2-minute offense. He was great in the 2-minute situation, the fourth quarter comebacks, the game-winning drives. It's one of the few areas that you cannot argue Marcus Mariota was very good. Is Ryan Tannehill going to be able to get the ball? Like, do you think that if the Titans get the ball down 4 with 1:47 to go and no timeouts, that Ryan Tannehill is the guy to win the game? We know that Derrick Henry can win you the game, right? We've uh-huh. seen the defense in the past win you the game. Maybe not the current iteration of the defense. Adoree Jackson is back. But can Ryan Tannehill singularly be the man? Because in the postseason, too much credit to the quarterback, too much blame. But when push comes to shove, the guy under center has to make plays in the fourth quarter when you're trailing in a playoff game. Do you trust him to give him the ball in that situation and say, go win us the game? Is he capable of doing that?
In his first playoff start, okay. I believe he can. I think he has proven it this year. We look back to the Kansas City Chiefs and what he did in that 2-minute situation. He orchestrated that offense, and it ran efficiently.
Chargers.
And, you know, he was hitting guys just everywhere. And it all ended with Adam Humphries catching the 23-yard touchdown pass, you know, late in the game. So has he proven that he can do it? Yes. But he didn't do it against the top ranked defense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He did it against the Kansas City Chiefs defense that was at that particular time playing bad in the pass defense. He did it against the Chargers, who were
at the time, very, very bad.
Yeah, they were bad.
Game-winning drive against the Bucs
exactly.
as well, but also that's the
bad,
Bucs.
Yeah. So, yes, he has done it, but against lesser competition on that side of the mm-hmm. ball. Can he do it against the greatest coach, the best defense in the National Football League? Can he do it then? It's yet to be seen. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. I don't know, but I know the Titans don't want to be in that position where they have to, you know, with 2 minutes left in the game and they're at their own, you know, 15, 20-yard line and he has to go 85, 80 yards to score a touchdown. Maybe that's not ideal. you know, in this particular situation against this defense.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. But what's funny is I think if you told 9-7 Titans fans at the beginning of the year, you are going to be within one drive of the Patriots in the playoffs, they probably would sign up for it.
Oh, of course.
They probably would take it. And again, you're right. The perfect way to win would be them to have the ball up by four with 3 minutes to go and them go into the Derrick Henry offense.
I can see that working better.
That's what you want. But again, yeah, sure, you want the lead. this is the kind of analysis you get on Morning Drive. We want the Titans to have the lead in the fourth quarter. To me, it goes back to, are you staying with them? What you don't want is for three quarters of it to be on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders. Because if you're asking him to throw 35, 40 times and to make a comeback and to – you know, that down 17 to Carolina, down 14 to Houston, you can't – I don't think that's the situation that helps. But if you can just survive and stick with the ground game, and I think Tannehill is capable of giving you a game-winning drive. I think we've seen it. But hostile conditions, you know, it looks like it's going to be in the 30s it's going to kick off at 7:15, 8:15 Eastern time, so it's going to be dark. It's going to get cold. It's supposed to be 50 during the day, 30 at night in New England. Could the weather be a factor? It's a great Derrick Henry situation. Is it going to be ideal for the quarterbacks? Either one of them. And you know, both of them have big arms. I think Tannehill actually has the stronger arm right now. So the question is going to be who can deal with the elements. And if you've got to face a two-minute drive, I'm Tom Brady has done it 4 billion times, and Ryan Tannehill is playing in his first playoff game. So I don't know what to expect from him in that situation. But I have a feeling, for some strange reason, Derek, I have a feeling it's going to come down to Ryan Tannehill's arm after all of this talk and this entire season, how it's all played out. For some reason, I think that's going to be 24-21, 24-20. You know, Titans get the ball with a minute 42 to go and no timeouts, and they're going to have to go score a touchdown to win the game. And we're going to find out what Ryan Tannehill's made of.
So you want Titan fans to be having a heart attack right about that time?
It would be a great game, wouldn't it? If that's the situation, yeah. It'd be a great game.
Ulcers and heart attacks, that's what you're hoping for.
But that's why we're fans, right? That's the whole point, is to deal with the heartache and the joy.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's
the
point, man.
Right.
If you're not going to live and die with your team, what's the point of being a fan, man?
Can't live on the edge, why be a fan?
There you go. All right, are we ready for the dissection?
Yes, we are ready, my brother. Damn it, we're ready. Damn it.
Computer is cooperating.
Gosh, this is not 1999 when a computer's crashed. This is 2020.
Don't jinx it. Let's get through the commercial break. And when we come back, a D-Mace dissection right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you miss any of the show, we have moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify, or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio. Rate, review, and subscribe, because you get things like a D-Mace dissection delivered right to your earbuds, right out of that app.
That was his new D-Mace dissection theme song, too,
okay,
by the way.
Right. We all about that action,
like
boss.
That?
A little 50 Cent for
him. I like the 50.
Oh, he had a second good song?
Yeah. No. 50 had more than one, you know, a good song.
I don't like his music.
More than one good, one good song.
Just my opinion. So,
just like the whole
Hey, listen.
I don't go to the club.
I love my dissection this week. Because it's going to be unique.
Is he being his own hype man right now?
He said it's a little curveball.
I'm
going to
curveball in here. I'm
it's a tease. I like it.
Well, okay, hype man.
Curveball.
Go ahead.
Right, let's
go. Get on with it.
Can I get the music in the background?
I mean, he did use it up last segment.
But we always get in the background.
Yeah, I played the whole song just to get through it.
Anybody just hum it? Dun, 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 dun.
I like it. You did a good job on that. All right, first play, Tennessee Titans, 3rd and 5 at their own 49-yard line. This is the first quarter, people. 5 minutes left in the first quarter. The Titans are in three wide set. Matter of fact, they are in four wides. Very seldom do they go. No, it's three wides. I'm looking at the tight end. He looks like a wide receiver, but he's not. They are in three wides. They are going trips right, Z motion. So he's going across trips to Z right motion. And then we're going to run, which is A.J. Brown is motioning from the right to the left. He in sharp now. are on the same side. They started off in trips to the right. A.J. Brown motions to the left, now becomes essentially twins right close. Twins right close. Y'all picture this, people that are listening to it. Twins right close. So now they have close splits on both sides. We're just going to run play pass. There we go. Play pass X in X Z in X corner. So Corey Davis is running a corner route from a tight split, which the Tennessee Titans are known for doing this.
Very, very hard route to cover.
This is how they create open guys, and this is what Arthur Smith is starting to do really well. And I talked about this before. He's creating matchup. He's getting guys open. He's putting guys in positions to get open. It's hard to cover a tight split. You can't press a tight split normally. You got to sit off and allow things to kind of materialize. You got to allow the defense has to be able to see it in order to cover it. This gets the guys off the bump coverage. This allows the receivers to run freely. And anytime you can get A.J. Brown running freely, it's advantage A.J. Brown. And on this particular play, it's advantage A.J. Brown. He takes the snap. A.J. Brown runs a okay route. It's not a great route, but it runs an okay end route. He's known for running these short end routes. The Titans love these routes. Get it over the middle of the field because of the play action. What happens here is the play develops a little bit. Ryan Tannehill doesn't see the play as it starts to get open initially. He gets pressure in his face. He sidesteps to the right. Then he's flushed out of the pocket just a little bit. And this is what you want a receiver to do. You got to mirror your quarterback. If your quarterback scrambles right, the guy that's on the left side of the field, he has to get in the sight line of the quarterback. The guy that is running deep, he takes another step deep and then comes back to the ball. The guy that is going short, what he does is he goes short and then goes deep again. So that is what we call the scramble rules. You have rules based upon how the quarterback is scrambling and where he's scrambling
which
to.
Which is the same thing you learn in high school.
Exactly.
Like you learn
to
that
get
early.
Open. Yeah. It's basically, now you're playing basically backyard football. Well, in this situation, A.J. Brown continues to stay in the sight line of Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill does a great job, actually, on the run at delivering this football to A.J. Brown. Now, what A.J. Brown does so well is because he's a big physical runner, he's a demonstrative runner, that he doesn't go down with just an arm tackle. You can't just push A.J. Brown and he's gonna fall to the ground. No, you got to tackle him and then someone else has to come as well. Does a great job, catches the ball in his hands, has the wherewithal to turn up because he's close to the sideline. Turn up the field as Roby makes this lackadaisical tackle. I don't know what Roby was thinking. Yeah, it was atrocious. He tries to push him out of bounds. A.J. Brown collects himself after catching the ball, hits that step, boom, turns it right up the field. Here's the other great job. Corey Davis, knowing that he didn't get the ball, but then turns right around and blocks the nearest man to him and allow A.J. Brown to run up the sideline scot-free. He didn't get hit until he got in the end zone. So that play right there, that's a play that the Tennessee Titans run all the time, these quick in routes, and try to hit it off play action and try to hit the guy over the ball. Normally, it's A.J. Brown because his ability to run after the catch. This is another example of A.J. Brown running after the catch. And with that catch right there, he became only the second player to have 40-yard catches as a rookie. The second player, you know who the first player was?
Did he play at Marshall?
Yep.
Yeah, he's the first rookie, yes, wide receiver to catch four touchdowns of 50 yards or more since Randy Moss in 1998.
That play right there put him over the hump.
Yep.
He tied Randy.
What I love about that is two things. The motion dictates to Ryan Tannehill whether it's man or zone. So Ryan has two different opportunities to realize if it's man or zone in that situation, right? The motion first is your first indicator of whether it's man or zone, and the defender goes with A.J. Brown when he goes in motion. So then he comes across, and then he still has to read it, right? Like, is it disguised or not? And when he's flushed out, there was an early window to hit A.J. Brown and then a second window to hit A.J. Brown. And he waited as he's rolling, and that's a really tough throw, running full speed to hit that throw into a one-yard window perfectly. He waits till A.J. Brown clears the next defender and is into the second window, which shows patience on his part. And I agree with you, the most underrated part of that play is Corey Davis's block. Mm-hmm. A fantastic block by A.J. Brown, by Corey Davis, who just seals the sideline, and A.J. Brown. And that's the kind of play, and frankly, I don't think it's just Tannehill over Mariota. That's certainly a big part of it. Mm-hmm. But it's A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Like, A.J. Brown is the piece of this puzzle that we haven't had in Tennessee for a long time.
Exactly.
Is that guy who runs a violent route every step of the way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just after – this is the other thing about A.J. Brown that I love. It's not just after the catch he's violent and tough to tackle. All that's true. He runs his routes with violence.
Exactly.
Like he makes you think he's going corner, and all of a sudden it's a bench route. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a million different ways you can do it, and he is so good at manipulating the coverages. And we thought that was going to be his problem, was how does he learn how to run the route tree?
Yeah.
And he's very, very good at running
his routes. Putting him in positions to use his strength. He reminds me so much, and I mean so much, and I watched this guy. I went back and I watched the film of him. He reminds me so much of Mohsin Mohamed. Watch Mohsin Mohamed and watch A.J. Brown. They run their routes the same. When they catch the football, they're physical. They got big hands. They're hard to tackle. Mohsin Mohamed, who I played in college with at Michigan State, saw him as a receiver as he was growing. And then he went to Carolina as a second-round pick, and he put up big numbers in the NFL. He reminds me, A.J. Brown reminds me so much of Mohsin Mohamed. And when he catches the ball, because he catches it with his hands, when he catches the ball, he turns up and he runs violent.
Derek Mason, dissection there. Do you got another one? Or are we going to go into?
I got two more, and I can get to it on the other side.
All right, let's do a couple more plays on the other side.
Because I got my last one is the doofy.
It's the curveball.
It's the curveball.
Okay, we'll get to some more dissection when we come back, as well as some individual matchups that we need to pay attention to. And I got questions for you, football player guy. Okay, we're going to do that when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, films.com,
mm-hmm.
ESPN 102.5 The Game. And streaming on the Game National app. Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Munson producing. It's time for another dissection from Derek Mason.
Yes, and I'm going to quickly get through these two right here because my last one is a doozy. I like the last one.
Well, I almost don't want you to do the second one. I just want to get to the last one.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Today is loose, boys. I'm just letting y'all know.
So the second play is third and nine. Tennessee are back. The Titans are backed up. They're at their own 11-yard line. It's a minute 26 left in the first quarter. We have motion to trips right. So we're taking Corey Davis and we're motioning him to the twin sides to create a trips now. So he's going from the short side, and he's going to motion to the trip side. So we got motion to trips right, X out, go, double go. So we got two goals ran by the outside guys, which is Tajay Sharp and A.J. Brown. And then we're going to have Corey Davis running the go route. Now, what I like about this is that we're creating a mismatch already by alignment, because we're going to run a trip side. We are with the Corey Davis's motion. We're going to find out whether it's zone or man. Quickly, he realizes that they're playing man coverage. It's hard to play man coverage when it's a three receiver set. So Ryan Tannehill figured it out very quickly. Corey Davis, here's the important thing about this as well. The two guys on the outside, they have to influence the safety. They have to influence the corners. They can't allow the corners to sit back and watch these routes as they materialize. A.J. Brown is a threat, so what happens? These guys, that safety and that nickel man that is playing him, all attention is on A.J. Brown. And Tajay Sharp, who's been playing well, he takes an outside release and he runs that corner off. Corey Davis does an excellent job at running his route as if he's going to run a deep post. Because the Titans have ran this play before, this similar formation before, and Corey Davis has run a deep post on this in previous games. Now what Corey Davis does is he runs this at the cornerback. The corner is sitting slightly inside. He attacks his technique, hits that seventh step inside, and he runs a really good out route. Ryan Tannehill puts the ball right on him. Only he can get it. I've always talked about catchable balls and throwing guys open. Ryan Tannehill did an excellent job at throwing Corey Davis open to get a huge first down. Because what you want to do in this situation as a quarterback and as an offense, when you're backed up like that, first and foremost, let's get first downs. We're not, so we are scoring is secondary at this particular point. What you want to do is switch field position, because if you do have to punt, at least you're not punting from your 10, 9, 8, 7 yard line. You're punting right from the 20, from the 30 or the 40. So what they did was a really good job at getting themselves out of minus territory and putting themselves in a position to potentially score. If they don't score, at least they flip field position, and then now they back the Houston Texans up instead of having themselves right backed up on this particular play. So he hits Corey Davis on a 12-yard route, gets a first down on third and nine. That was a big play on that drive, because I think essentially they end up moving the ball and scoring on that drive. Now, here's the play that you guys are going to love. It's the first quarter. It's first and 10, and you're figuring, why is he giving me a first and 10 at the 50? I mean, in the first quarter, I don't mean nothing. All first right and 10 at the 50.
Hey, I just told you how important the first quarter is. Absolutely. Against the Patriots. So.
And we got twins left. So we got two receivers to the left. We got twins left. In the backfield is Derrick Henry. So we got twins left. We got Y motion right. So the tight end, which is the tight end, moves from the left side of the field to the right side of the field. Now they're trying to figure out what the coverage is. He's trying to read the coverage. The Houston Texans don't move. So when they don't move, what are they in? They're in zone coverage. So now Ryan Tannehill knows exactly what he's getting on this particular play. Did I say Ryan Tannehill? Tannehill? My bad. This is Marcus Mariota. Yes, there's a Marcus Mariota signing, people. Marcus throws his first pass since being benched. You know, a couple
true,
of weeks ago. Yeah. What, six, seven
ten,
weeks ago?
10 weeks ago.
Yeah, 10 weeks ago. He throws his first pass. And who does he throw his first pass to? One A.J. Brown for a first down. A.J. Brown for a first down. A.J. Brown runs his staple route, which is that 10-yard in route from a tight split. He sees that his zone.
And it's wide
Marcus
open.
Mariota reads it perfectly and delivers a catchable ball. He throws A.J. Brown open. A.J. Brown catches it with his hands, and he gets a whopping 24 yards.
And you know what that pass completion did for A.J. Brown?
Put him over 1,000 yards.
Put him over 1,000 yards, and A.J. Brown
Marcus
was the one.
Marcus Mariota was the guy that put A.J. Brown over 1,000 yards.
Which, of course, we know. Now, there's two things.
Uh-huh.
There's two things they did that for. One, I think it's because A.J. Brown took it so hard that Marcus got benched. He took it personally back when he got benched against Denver, and A.J. Brown put a lot of that on his own shoulders, which is kind of strange. It's not really A.J. Brown's fault that Marcus Mariota got benched. But he took it very seriously and very hard and took a lot of blame. I think he built a really strong relationship with Marcus because of that situation. So I think there's part of that. Mm-hmm. Hey, we want A.J. Brown to get this milestone, and we want Marcus to do it. But what they're really doing is they're setting up another play when both quarterbacks are on the field for Belichick to think about, or for whoever else to think about.
Oh, absolutely.
They are setting up another play when Marcus comes in, Tannehill splits out, maybe it's a run from Marcus, maybe it's a double pass. Mm. What they're doing, maybe it's a reverse pass. Maybe both of them can run. Maybe it's a pass from Marcus to Tannehill. Who knows? But they are setting something up with that play.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a... That is a put it on film so that you have to think about it.
And boy, oh boy, does Bill Belichick have to think about it now. But I love this. I was even surprised when I saw Marcus Mariota, because when you're watching the game, you're really not paying attention.
It's hard to notice.
It's like, okay, you assume Ryan Tannehill is in the game.
Right.
But then it's like Marcus Mariota completion to A.J. Brown.
I was like, what?
For 24 yards. Huh? Who in the game?
And if you really think about how athletic they both are, it's actually pretty – there's a lot of different things you could do with that. The old throw, the old throwback, the pitch sweep throwback, the double reverse throw. I mean, in theory, you could just have – Marcus drop back and throw a pass to Ryan Tannehill, or vice versa, because they're both
Ryan
athletic enough.
Ryan did play receiver in college.
He did, and Marcus is athletic enough to play that. So like it is interesting. I wish I could sit in the meeting room and be like, all right, because Dabo Swinney did this perfectly in the game against Ohio State. He was running Trevor Lawrence to set up the Tim Tebow pass to Travis Etienne that won them the game. And the whole game I'm going, what is he setting up? Sure enough, it leads to the fake jump pass Tebow thing. I would love to be in the room with them and as they've laid out this set of plays, the first of which is that play right there that you just dissected. I want to know what the second play is. I want to know what the third play is. What do they have that works off of that? Where Mariota's in there and Tannehill split out wide. Because don't tell me there's not something there. There's an option there. Some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I just loved it. I loved it. Marcus got an opportunity to play again after being benched. But not only play, but he gets the opportunity to hit the hottest receiver in the National Football League and put him over 1,000 yards in A.J. Brown. 24-yard gain. There has been a Marcus Mariota sighting. Bill Belichick, watch out.
Also, the Texans didn't try in the
game. They really didn't.
So it made it a lot easier to run Marcus out there.
Kudos to Marcus.
All right, let's take a look at some individual matchups that I think are really critical, and I want your answers, Derek, on a few questions about what the Titans are going to do from a matchup standpoint with the Patriots. We'll get into that when we come back right here, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, obviously, y'all know we practice against them. You know, they're great receivers. They're having a big year. And, you know, Tannehill's having a big year. So, you know, it's going to be a dogfight. Prepare as much as we can, and I'm looking forward to the matchup and giving it all I got for my team.
Does the team feel like they're underdogs or somehow, you know, no one believes in you guys and now you're the Patriots and you can pick it up?
I don't believe in underdogs. You know, it's the playoffs. So, you know, you have to prove yourself, you know, on Saturday. No matter what you did in the past, you know, it's a win or go home. So that's how I look at it.
Stephon Gilmore there at the New England for the New England Patriots. Maybe your defensive player of the year in the NFL. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesaling Studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and quickly on the text line here, 615-737-1025. Congratulations to Derek Mason on predicting the league-leading rusher, Derek Henry. Now, he did not do that.
I picked AFC. Yes.
So I will be the nitpicker who corrects that. But no, congratulations. You did do that. Also, before we get to some individual matchups that I really want to get your thoughts on, Derek, tomorrow is one person's birthday. And John on the text line alerted me to this, and I did not know this. But Derek Henry will celebrate his birthday tomorrow.
Hey.
On January 4th in Foxborough in Gillette Stadium.
Happy B-Day, bro.
What better way to celebrate your birthday than with like 38 carries and like 192 yards?
What better way to celebrate your birthday by dragging Patrick Chung across to the end zone for a touchdown?
Yeah. What better way to get a victory?
Why are you picking up Patrick Chung?
Yeah, Patrick Chung of all
people. First person I thought
of. You know what I can't wait to see, though? Head up in the hole, Dante Hightower versus Derrick Henry.
Man.
That is like 500 pounds of just pure, unadulterated strength.
Hey, now
that's insane.
Who met him in a hole? Zach, for the Houston Texans. Why am I forgetting?
Cunningham.
Yeah. And Zach did pretty good.
He's much smaller than Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Zach stood him up, but it was a good form tackle.
I stood next to Dante.
It was a good form tackle.
So the first time I ever stood next to Derrick Henry was the Sugar Bowl against Ohio State in 2014.
Massive,
and he was a sophomore. So he was like a 19-year-old kid. I'm like 33, and I'm going, oh, my God. And then I stood next to Dante Hightower this summer during camp. I stood next to him, and when I was talking to him, and I was like, you are the size. And it puts into perspective that Derrick Henry's size, right? Uh-huh. He's the same size as like this elite level linebacker, defensive end. So listen, happy birthday to Derrick Henry. We'll see if he can go out and make it happen. Here's a couple quick questions from an individual matchup standpoint, because I think people from reading all the things that I've reading and talking and listening to all the Boston people, and we're gonna have a reporter on who covers the Patriots later on in hour number four. The way you stop the Patriots is to stop Julian Edelman. Uh-huh. Probably with a bracket coverage of some sort, maybe a double team, and then to make sure you cover James White with a defensive back. Those are the ways you beat the Patriots. And and so what's fascinating to me is, here's my question: can Jayon Brown cover James White?
Oh boy,
because he might be the best linebacker in the NFL at doing that, but James White is exceptional in the open field. I still think it's an advantage for the Patriots.
I don't think he can. Yeah, I think it's an advantage. And listen, I think Jayon Brown is a really good player. And the Titans need to figure out, I think, by next year, a way to sign this kid, because I think he's a cornerstone of what you want to do moving forward with those linebackers. But I just think it's a matchup problem for the Tennessee Titans.
You got to go defensive back.
It's been a matchup problem with a lot of people when James White's in the game. It's not just
Logan Ryan?
Brown. I mean, but are you going to remove Logan Ryan to cover Brown? I mean, to cover White and then leave Edelman out there?
Here's what brings Adoree Jackson to the equation. Is Adoree Jackson the guy you want on Julian Edelman?
No.
Because Logan Ryan knows him. He practiced against him, right?
Yeah. You don't want to.
But can Logan Ryan cover him? Because Edelman doesn't have the straight line speed.
Yeah.
But he's got that savvy, and that's what Logan Ryan's got.
Yeah. I think Logan Ryan he can do a good job against him. But, I mean, I think Edelman is a really good receiver in this offense. I think they use him exactly the way you're supposed to use a guy like that. Give him space, put him in the middle, never letting get jammed. Give him the freedom and the leeway to do things within his route. And he and Tom Brady are on the same page just about every time, because they played together for so long. But I don't think you put Adoree Jackson on him. One, he's just coming off an injury. Two, I don't think Adoree plays well in the slot. I think he's more so of an outside corner. And then three, I just think Logan Ryan is a better fit. You know, he's a more physical player than Adoree Jackson.
Would your vote be Logan Ryan with safety help, Amani Hooker, who played only, I think, 35% of the snaps last week against Houston, only 17% of the snaps against New Orleans, and only 16% after 56% against Oakland. So Amani Hooker saw a ton of playing time against, you know, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and Oakland, and then did not play much against Houston and New Orleans. Do you like Adoree Jackson on James White and then Logan Ryan on Julian Edelman with some safety help? Because those are the only two weapons Tom Brady has to throw to right now. The other pieces of the puzzle, they don't scare me. N'Keal Harry, I think, has got some talent, but he doesn't scare me. So is that how you'd answer that question?
That's a possibility. At this point of time, I mean, maybe you...
Like, I don't think Kenny Vaccaro can cover James White.
No, I don't think Kenny Vaccaro can cover James White. Maybe you take, you know, one of these younger guys.
Could Hooker cover?
Ty Smith, Jermaine Brock, and double them with those guys. Put those guys in the inside and use a bracket coverage with those guys in coverage. You know, these younger, a little bit more faster cornerbacks. Now, you know, you may be giving up a little experience, I think, but then you can still use, I mean, you can use Ty Smith, but Ty might be a little bit too big to play a slot.
It feels like a smart way to ease Adoree Jackson back, and easing, it's not the right word, but like covering a running back should be something that Adoree Jackson should be able to do.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right.
That shouldn't be a physical challenge for him.
No, it shouldn't be. Putting Logan Ryan on Edelman probably, to me, would be the smartest thing to do. I'm pretty sure that's what they will do, but I think you got to have some type of bracket coverage
You got to double him.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's, you know, bringing in an extra nickel, you know, with Amani Hooker, and I think that's what they probably end up doing, bringing in a nickel guy, having Amani Hooker and Logan Ryan, that combo coverage on Edelman.
That feels like a good combination to take care of Edelman. And then Adoree Jackson's got James White. That leaves Kevin Byard, Vaccaro, and the other corners you mentioned freed up to play a lot of coverage or come on blitzes. Mm-hmm. That allows you to blitz Kevin Byard or bring Kenny Vaccaro on a blitz.
Well, they're going to have to – I think, too, if you got to get your hands on James White as he's coming out the backfield. I can recall, you know, this is what Bill Belichick did to Marshall Faulk back in the Super Bowl. Hit Marshall Faulk before he comes out of the backfield. Yeah. You got to disrupt him before he gets out of the backfield and gets into his route.
That was their whole thing for the whole game. Was
absolutely. To
Bruce,
disrupt,
Holt, and Faulk. Knock those guys around before really they get into their route.
They really wanted to take Marshall Faulk because he was the engine that made everything run. And if you knock him off his route just a little bit, that then makes the quarterback have to think a little bit more. He can't go to him right away in rhythm. Brady can't go to James White in rhythm. So one of those linebackers or one of those defensive ends, they got to hit James White coming out the backfield, you know, as they're rushing somehow, some way, get their hands on him, and then get to the quarterback.
And I think Vrabel talked about this yesterday. If we're going to throw at Stephon Gilmore, like one of the best things that could happen is an incomplete pass. So we can't throw it at Stephon Gilmore much. It better be good. It better be the right play. It better be the right call. And A.J. Brown had better have beaten him in that situation. Can A.J. Brown, because he didn't do it a lot against Marshon Lattimore, although there were a couple of receptions called back by penalty in that game against the Saints, can A.J. Brown win a couple of times? I don't think he has to win the majority of the time, but can he win a couple of times in man-to-man situations against Stephon Gilmore?
He needs at least one big play in this game. Yeah. He needs at least one big play to soften things up just a little bit. And I don't think a pass interference will do it because they can live with a pass interference.
Unless it's a lot of yards.
Yeah, unless it's like a 40-yard reception and it puts you right directly in scoring position. It's going to be tough because I look at A.J. Brown and what he has done this whole season. And I was looking at this the other day with him because I really wanted to get a sense of, you know, what he's done relative to the season. Because you know he hadn't had a lot of catches, but he's put up a lot of yards. His big games were against Houston, horrible defense, Jacksonville, it was the first Jacksonville meeting. So Ramsey was still there, I believe. So no, Ramsey was gone by then. That was the 11th. Yeah. That was November. Ramsey was gone. And then against Cleveland, secondary, but not great. Those were his big games, his big breakout games. So, you know, two of them three games in conference, in their division. And then the Oakland Raiders, whose secondary is bad, and then the Cleveland Browns. He had to work in other against everyone else.
Yeah.
And I look back at what he did against Lattimore. One catch. It was a big catch.
It was.
One catch. No. He had the reverse for a touchdown, but he did end up having, I think, one big catch at the end toward the long pass on the sideline, beat Lattimore off the line of scrimmage. He's going to have a problem because Stephon Gilmore presses. Stephon Gilmore is physical. He's a big corner, technically sound. He's sort of this Darrell Revis type.
Yep.
It's hard to beat him. He hasn't faced anyone that's going to sit up and press him just about all game.
Yep.
And Stephon Gilmore can do that. And Stephon Gilmore can be physical with him. This is going to be a big task for A.J. Brown.
Which also means that if that is the case, Corey Davis has to be.
Absolutely.
Corey Davis has to make plays one-on-one, solo coverage against J.C. Jackson, who started the last seven games of the season. Jason McCourty started the first 10 or whatever. Corey Davis now has to become a dependable weapon on the backside. If we're knowing that Brown is just locked up now, you're going to have to win one-on-one mm-hmm. battles if you're Corey Davis. Jonnu Smith, win one-on-one battles with guys like Sharp. Patrick Chung. Yeah, Tyaje Sharp is going to be big. So mm-hmm. It's a fascinating game within the game of matchups. The pass rush for New England's far better than the Titans. That's going to be a question. Mm-hmm. Which offensive line blocks better? I have a much bigger concern for the Titans offensive line than I do the Patriots offensive line. The Titans are just simply not getting enough pressure on the quarterback. So a lot of things still to discuss here on a Friday, on a football Friday. Of course, our NFL picks. Let's go back and make fun of ourselves for a little bit. Just lighten the mood a bit here. We had some heavy dissections, and you know we've discussed a lot of things here. Let's go back and look at our NFL picks and take a look at the rest of the NFL weekend this weekend and see how wrong we really were. We'll do that when we come back right here. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.